Again, I would like to make known some memorial to this grief, some testimony renewed again. My thoughts would not keep from thinking about some of those I missed. Brother Junior, Brother Askin. They came to my mind, my thoughts. Then I remembered that they've gone to be with the Lord. And then I remembered they said that far back. So, my faith embraces this evening that they are better. We're here. We're here to be comforted. We're here to be instructed. We're here to talk about the Lord. Talk about His goodness. The men who have gone before us, admonishing, teaching us, have been so sweet. Teaching of a crucified and risen Lord. Teaching us what that mind that was in Christ should stir every one of our thoughts and hearts to want to be like that. And to think and meditate more of what was that mind that was in Christ. That humbled himself and became a servant. Made himself of no reputation. Numbered with the transgressors, yet without sin. I like to condense my thoughts about that. I believe it's the Apostle Peter who said that Christ has once suffered for sin. If I stop there, that'd be a whole lot to say. The thing about it is, he wants suffering. A lot to be thought about. You mean one thing, he's not going to suffer anymore. We like to talk about the complete work of our Lord. We don't like to talk about him yonder in the portal of his glory, suffering with wonder what the outcome of his dead one. We like to talk about the perfection of him who once suffered. No more to suffer. No, you've not got to pay any more penalties. You've not got to pay anything else. I don't think you don't either. Not for our sins. We are bought with a price. I believe the last time that I heard Brother Aspen preach, he said, he preached on your bought with a price, you're not your own. You've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Christ has once suffered for sin. The just or the unjust. That he might bring us to God. Seems like that's awful few lines to say, but oh my, how much it says. He once suffered. Said at the end of the world, about one world, he suffered. At the end of that world was to put away sin. I'm glad we live in a time when we can hear the gospel preached about it. I'm glad to have that gospel preached to me from time to time and enable me to try to preach it myself. To tell what great things the Lord has done for me. I look at this Bible before me and it's called Old and New Testament. Meaning it's testimonies of God's children to the ages. Testimonies left on record by all earth. Testimonies of God's visitation with His people. I like to talk about testimonies this evening. You know, a testimony is nothing other than being a witness to something. You know, I can't testify to you that I know anymore that I have saw or had experienced it. I might tell what somebody else's experience is. I might tell of the testimony they had. But these men hold of their personal testimony. You know, sometimes when you're thinking and reading the Bible, it becomes more simple that way. When we begin to think about, I'm reading about men whom God gave witness to. I can tell you no more about what I truly know about God and understand about God than I've been witness, that I have witnessed a testimony to tell you about. You know, the apostles, the greatest part of their writing was telling you what how dealings the Lord had with them. David said, come and hear. And I will tell thee what great things the Lord has done for my soul. Now you know what he's telling? He was going to tell them of the testimonies of the Lord's dealings with him. What the Lord had done for him. We read in the New Testament of the Apostle Paul. And you know, he reiterated on occasions the dealings of the Lord with him. He reiterated when the Lord appeared to him. The most outstanding thing he had to tell was the testimonies of the Lord. If I get up here and preach to you about the Lord, I better be acquainted with him to some degree. And now David said, come and hear, ye that fear the Lord, and I'll tell thee what great things he's done for my soul. Now I want a witness in my heart that he's done just something for my soul. Have he delivered my soul from the pit? Do I feel that he has delivered me from the bondage of sin? Do I have a testimony of his grace in my soul that he has taken me out of a horrible pit and set my feet on a rock? And that if I've got anything to sing, it's to sing of the praises of God. And to tell you what great things he's done for my soul. If I'm going to do that, I can't tell you how obligated you. I can't tell you that there was something that I've done that obligated God to do such. I want to tell you how that it's by his grace he got me. How that he favored me. By the merits of his grace, not by any works of righteousness that I've done, but by his mercy he done to me. I feel this is one of the greatest things to talk about, how God by his mercy gave something to my soul that I have a testimony. David said another place, the law of the Lord is perfect. Converting the soul. Making wise the testimonies of the Lord are sure. Making wise the simple. You know, some of the things that I've found in life, somebody you might not have thought that knew very much. Some old blessed old sister, you might have thought she was kind of a simple person. But you begin to let her talk about her Lord, and you think that's one of the wisest persons you ever met in your life. When she begins to tell you what the Lord had done for her soul, how she had been made to rejoice under circumstances that looked oppositional to the flesh. You know, I tried for years to preach on tribulation, work of patience. Patience, experience, and experience, hope, and hope make us not ashamed. But it seemed as I began to have some testimonies along that, I began to have some tribulation. You know the way I have of describing tribulation? One day my wife was cooking some turnip greens. I had a whole big pot full of greens when we first put them on. But after they had boiled a while, you had to look down in the store to see them. Tribulation had been boiled out. Tribulation worketh patience. Not, you know, how to be patient, how to learn to wait upon the Lord. The only way I've ever learned now that I wait upon the Lord is I remember His testimony. I remember what He's done in past times. I couldn't have climbed up here in this stand this evening if I hadn't remembered He has delivered me from times past. He has given me a door of entrance. He has opened the door. And many times I have been able, when I thought it was dark, and brought light and immortality to life through the gospel. Not brought life and immortality, but it brought it to life. I like that. I like to have a life and immortality to brought to light again. When the brethren were preaching this morning about how bright it did shine, and how I'd love if I could just hold that all the time. Oh, that life and immortality was shining so brightly, and the assurance, bringing assurance, and reminding me of the testimonies of the Lord, and what an interest I had in this crucified Lord they were preaching to me. This Lord that I felt was my Lord. No, why do I thank He's my Lord? Because I have a testimony in my heart. There is something in my heart that cries out to Him. And surely then it must have been something that in my soul that desires Him and seeks after Him and longs for Him and fears Him. Come ye that fear the Lord. And I'll tell what great things the Lord's done for my soul. Growing, we begin to think about that. The wild Gadareans. You know, when the Lord put him in his right mind, you know, he just had a simple thing to tell. Go home and tell what great thing the Lord has done for you. Sometimes people wonder what you're going to tell when you're going to church. I think you ought to tell something. And I think you really, if you come, I think you've got something to tell. Sometimes you may think it ought to be something outstanding the world wants to hear. But brother, what it is that they want to hear, that you begin to tell them what great things you feel the Lord has done for you. You might be telling them what a sinner you feel to be. If you know, if you feel that way, that's one of the things the Lord has done for you. That's strange. You may think that's an oppositional thing to you. But one of the things is that the Lord has made you feel to be the worst sinner in the world. That's something the Lord done for you. And you wouldn't have helped such if it hadn't been that the Lord had said something in your soul. And then you begin to read these testimonies. Some of these old brethren come up here and they begin to tell you about, that's why the Lord spared them. That's why that God has spared them to preach. so they can tell you how through the years He has revived me again. He has restored my soul. He has revived me from time to time and refreshed me. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is, the testimonies of the Lord. I remember, you know, my old grandmother said sometimes, she said, you know, a long time ago when people joined the church, they came and she said, they professed the hope. People don't use that term anymore. But you know what they were doing? They were coming and professing that they had a hope in the Lord, that they had testimony in their soul that God was their God. Amen. And He had given them witness. Did you know if I got up here and I began to tell you and testify to you something that I hadn't witnessed, I'd be a false witness. You got to what I mean. Be a false witness. I must not tell no more than the Lord has done for me personally and for dealing with my soul. You know, the apostles, please will turn over here in the apostle Peter. The apostle Peter says, "For we have not followed cunning devised fables, when we have made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord. For we were eyewitnesses of His majesty." You know what I like about those apostles? They wasn't just telling some old story they heard. They wasn't telling something that somebody told them, and I'm glad. For I think that's what it took to be an apostle. I thank you for it to be an apostle that they had to be an eyewitness of His majesty. They had to have seen the Lord. They had to have been with Him here on this earth. Many of the things the brother told you this morning and showed you through the truth, that while they were with them, they didn't understand many of the things that He did. Many of the things they could not understand to the extent they were discouraged when they crucified Him. To the extent that some went fishing and some wondered what had happened. But when He had risen from the dead, and their hopes were brought again and were revived with a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and that Spirit began to bring to them again the things that they had been told. And it began to teach them the things about what He had told them while He was on earth with them and remind them daily. And how that Apostle Peter, who stood up as a converted man, not regenerated, converted. You remember the Lord had told him that when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You tell them of the testimonies of the Lord. You tell them how He has delivered you. You tell them what He's done. You tell of the witnessing of the Father with Him. And then Peter tells in this occasion, we were with Him in the Holy Mount. And we were with Him with the Holy Mount. You know how what a wonderful thing this must have been. They remember it now with a greater thing. You know, Peter is speaking when he's the aged man here. Here he is as he's writing to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus Galatia. And he had said, he had declared, knowing that shortly he must put off this tabernacle. Soon he must do it, must put it off. But now he was telling them of how that the Lord was an eyewitness. We were with Him in the Holy Mount. What did we hear? We heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." Did you know that's what these brothers have been telling you about? They've been telling you about a Savior that your heart, that you've got a testimony of in your heart, that the God was well pleased with Him. Because He wants something for Jesus. The just for the unjust. I qualify for that unjust, I guarantee you. That He might bring us to God. But what would that be if word only? What if I said that in all only? Is there any testimony in your soul that you have been brought to God? You know, somebody asked me not long ago, said, you're one of the people that believe in election? Yes. Well, how am I going to know I'm an election? Well, I begin to say this. Did you ever feel like he was the worst sinner that ever lived? You mean that's the way you feel? Yes. Did you ever feel like that you felt like it, that eternal damnation was your just desserts? Yes. That is evidence then that you're one elect of God. Now don't leave you there. I know that. He leads you down, and these brethren have been preaching to you. Especially I believe Brother Crane this morning about leading on into the furtherance of truth. And the furtherance of knowing Him and the power of His resurrection and the things that have assured that we might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering being made conformable unto this death. Being made conformable. Knowing Him. Know more about Him. The apostle wasn't trying to know Him as his Savior to be saved. He was to know Him in a greater way while He lived in the world. As the apostle Peter, you had come to know Him greater. I love to read the apostle Peter's letter. It's one of my favorite ones. Because it tells me about trials of life. It tells me about the fiery trials of life, and to tell me, don't think it strange concerning your fiery trials, as though some strange things happened to you. And then he tells me that God is not flat concerning His promises. Aren't you glad that God always carried out His promises? Brother Archie emphasized greatly last night how that God was a God that could not lie. And that hope that you have, that expectation of your soul, was based upon the God that had given to you. And I am God, and He can't change, and He can't lie. All the testimonies of our Lord, and His four witness to our children, giving us assurance. That's why we want to be revived again. That song can be not to be just sang once a year. That's not something to be talked about once. Oh, will we not be revived in the midst of the year? Revive our spirits. And as David said, restore my soul. He restores my soul. Oh, how many times do I feel the Lord has restored my soul? I'll give you testimony here this evening that God restored my soul many times. And the Apostle Paul would say, I am cast down, but I'm not destroyed. Was he not offering you a testimony that he is saying, I've been cast down. I've been cast down, but I have a testimony. I am not destroyed. I am perplexed, but not in despair. Know this God that my soul is rested in is everything that He... You know the strange thing about this, and you can't just know it by somebody telling you about it. This gospel comes, but it don't come in word only. It comes in power and much assured. It comes in the Holy Ghost. It comes with something that is assuring to you the certainty of it. But if you don't have a witness in your soul to bear it with, then it can't become to you. These brethren preach to you our gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Good news. Glad tidings. Glad tidings of great joy. Just to hear the words again unto you in the city of David, a Savior born, which is Christ the Lord. And with such language as that, and He shall save His people from their sins. If that rings with testimony in your soul and you feel somehow that it bears to you that thou art one of those people, not by choice of one, but by His grace that He chose thee. Oh, how wonderful thing it is.
Oh, no, Timothy, be not ashamed of what? The testimonies of the Lord. That could be the things that are written in the things of your own testimony. Tell them of the dealings of the Lord. I know the world don't care about hearing it. But you know what? I remember Brother Raleigh Dale said one time there's a man joined the church, and he didn't have much to say. He just told me he loved the church and he wanted to come in. And you know what? It was a month or two later that someone joined the church, and he began to tell them what great things the Lord on earth done for his soul. He began to tell them of the dealings of the Lord with them. And the other person said, I didn't know that's what you wanted to hear.
Yes, it is. It's what they want to hear. The sweetest ring that ever rang in a soul is to hear somebody come and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior. But you know, you'd have to have witness for that to be true, or you'd be a false witness.
And you'd bring false testimony. He'd have to already be you confessing that couldn't make it so. No, you confess it and it had to be so, or you confess it wouldn't be true. You'd be a false witness. Would you say to say, I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? Yes, that's a wonderful thing to say that. And you have testimony and witness in your heart. It's a wonderful thing. It's a feeling and the brethren love to hear. They know how to read that language. Because it's life there. That's what they have. You know, I've told this before. Tell it again. And that's what I think we ought to do. You know, sometimes we tell the testimony of the Lord we had one time, and then we don't tell about it anymore. Did you know the church is a place where you ought to tell the dealings of the Lord with you from day to day? I told this girl one time that said there was an old sister, and she'd come to church, and she'd tell what the Lord done for her 40 years ago. And she'd tell this about every meeting day. And one of the sisters got kind of tired of hearing it. She said, ain't nothing happened since. You know, we need to tell what happened since then. The things of the nation and the things that God has done for us lately. We've had things happen to us. We've had deliverance. The Apostle Paul, here's the way he spoke about it. He said, God who has delivered. He remembered the many times he'd been delivered, and oh, that book's full of them. He's telling me about times he'd been delivered in prison and storms and all the things. He has delivered. He does deliver. And I'm looking under the uncertainty of tomorrow, and he will yet deliver. What am I basing that on? Past deliverance. You know what makes your faith strong? Looking upon what the Lord has already done for you. That increases your faith. It sure does. It makes you stronger to realize as you think, why, God has delivered me. I believe that that particular time he said he delivered me from the lions. I don't know what kind of lions it was, but he delivered me. Delivered me from the lions. Why do you think that story in the Bible? You know, when Daniel was delivered from the den of lions. You know, sometimes we think, looks like the Lord has delivered us from our problems, from our troubles. But we find that the way that God's people travel in this world, he delivers them in their troubles. You know, he didn't deliver them from the den of lions, he delivered him in the den of lions. Makes a lot of difference. Because you know why? Because when that Jonah went from that place, he could tell a testimony. I was put in a den of lions. I bear witness to you that I have a testimony in my soul that I saw God pull the mouth of lions. Do we believe in this God? You know, he can save the Hebrew children from the fire furnace, but strangely enough, he did not. There in that Hebrew furnace they saw that they were there and not even the smell of smoke upon them. Even when the old king could come down and say, and holler at him, there he was and could see someone, the fourth man in fire. What a glorious thing, witnesses, that they could tell later and said, we were in the fire, there's just three will of us, but as we walked around, they became four. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think of that? Old David, when he would call upon him, when he told him he'd go out and meet that Goliath, that giant, did you know what he called on? He called on past testimony. He said, the God that delivers the lion and the bear will deliver me and thee unto me also. He wasn't going out there without no experience. He wasn't going out there without any testimony. He was going out there with testimony that God had delivered him. And upon the basis of that, I'm not afraid to meet this Philistine giant. That's what it is. And then we find in this book of Hebrews it says, wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, these great cloud of witnesses who witness to us of the testimony of the deliverance of God, and enumerates them throughout that book, telling you how God did, what God did for them. It even tells you about a man named Moses, how when he come to full years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh, but rather he chose to suffer with the afflictions of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What man do that? Testimony. Oh, my goodness, the testimonies of God's people. The witnessing of God's people through the ages. How he has delivered them. Brought them through the fire. Delivered them through the things that he delivered. I know that we're so prone, and we're prone not to do this. We're so prone to forget. Oh, you remember one of the greatest things against Israel was, even though all the things that God delivered them, and he brought them out with a high hand, said he brought them out on eagle wings, he brought them out with a high hand, and yet it said they soon forgot his wonders. They remembered not the plenitude of his wonders. Nevertheless, he saved them. Isn't that a merciful God? Isn't that a merciful God? Just a few days ago, I was just wringing my heart when I thought of a scripture that came with a testimony in my shoulder. What manner of love it is that the Father has bestowed upon me that I should be called a son of God! That such a low worm of the dust that I could be elevated to such a place that I could be called a son of the Most High God. What a privilege. What an exalted thing. What a class. And this man who said he wants us. To deliver me from the lowest bondage, the lowest hell, the lowest deserving thing that it is that I should completely be banished from God. Brother Dale used the word that when you were sometimes far off. Far off. Made nigh. Ooh, my goodness, how mighty God. Made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Testimonies. Look at your own. Look at the testimonies of God's grace. Has he not delivered you? Has he not delivered this old church? I feel this morning, here this evening, what a great need the church has in this nation I love so well. How often Brother Archie was standing up here last night and told about being over yonder in a building of potatoes in Germany and the enemy. Knowing how to be a soldier. Learning to be a soldier. Having done all to stand, I think that's the first word he said. Having done all to put on the armor of God. Why not? He furnished the armor. Did you ever notice that armor that he talked about? God, he furnished it all. Strange about it. Just you put it on and wire it. And wire it on. Wire it on. May the Lord bless you.